Chapter 24. Beelzebub's Fifth Flight to the Planet Earth. Beelzebub continued his tale as follows. After my fourth sojourn on the surface of the planet Earth, many years passed by. During these years, of course only from time to time, I attentively observed through my Tescuano the being existence of these favorites of yours. By now, their numbers had considerably increased, and they were already populating almost all the large and small land masses on your planet. And of course, their chief particularity continued to manifest itself. That is to say, every so often they would begin to destroy each other's existence. During this time, that is, between my fourth and fifth visits, the surface of your planet underwent great changes, particularly in the places where the existence of your favorites was concentrated. For example, their centers of culture on the continent of Ashark that I had personally visited on my previous descents to the Earth, namely the countries of Tikliamish and Maroplasi, had entirely disappeared by the time of my fifth arrival there. The cause of the destruction of these centers of culture and of the changes on the surface of the Earth was a new catastrophe, the third for this ill-fated planet. This third catastrophe was entirely local in character and occurred as a result of unprecedented, accelerated displacements of parts of the atmosphere, or, as your favorites would say, great winds, which lasted several years. And the cause of these abnormal displacements, or great winds, was once again those two fragments which had broken off from this planet of yours during the first great calamity, and which later became small, independent planets of that solar system, known today as the Moon and Anulios. Strictly speaking, the main cause of this third terrestrial catastrophe was the larger of the fragments, namely the Moon. The smaller fragment, Anulios, played no part in it whatsoever. The accelerated displacements in the Earth's atmosphere came about in the following way. When the atmosphere around the small, accidentally arisen planet Moon had been finally formed, and the Moon was still falling back upon its fundamental mass by a path established according to the already mentioned law of catching up, and this newly arisen definite presence around the Moon had not yet acquired its own harmony within the common system harmony of movement, then the Osmualnian friction, as it is called, not being harmonized with the whole, provoked in the Earth's atmosphere those accelerated displacements or great winds. And by the force of their currents, these unprecedented great winds began to wear away the projecting land masses and to fill up the corresponding depressions. Among these depressions were two regions of the continent of Ashark, where the process of existence of the first and second groups of the beings of what is now called Asia were chiefly concentrated, that is to say, the main parts of the countries of Tikliamish and Maroplasi. Certain parts of the country of Pearlland were also covered by sand, as well as the region in the middle of the continent of Grabonsi, where, after the loss of Atlantis, there was formed the leading center of culture, as they called it, for all the three-brain beings there, a region that in those times was the most flourishing part of the surface of your planet and is now a desert known as the Sahara. Bear in mind that besides the countries I have mentioned, several other smallish land surfaces of that hapless planet were also covered by sand as a result of those abnormal winds. It is interesting to note here that your contemporary favorites also learned, by some means or other, that the three-centered beings of that period changed the places of their permanent existence, and having attached one of their labels to this, namely the Great Migration of Races, they stuck it on to what they call their knowledge. A number of the learned there are now puffing and blowing with all their might to find out why and how it all occurred so that they can tell everybody else about it. At the present time, there are several theories about this that have nothing in common and, in an objective sense, are each more absurd than the other, but are nevertheless recognized there by what is called official science. But in fact, the true cause of the migration of the three-centered beings of that epoch was that as soon as this process of erosion began, the beings inhabiting the continent of Ashok, fearing to be buried by the sands, started to move to other, safer places, and this migration took place in the following order. Most of the three-brained beings populating Titliamish moved to the southern part of the continent of Ashok, to the country later called Persia, while the rest moved north and settled in the regions afterwards called Kyrgyzstan. As for the beings inhabiting the country of Maralplacy, some wandered eastward, while the others, the majority, went toward the west. Those who went east, after crossing high mountains, settled on the shores of a large Salyak-Kuryapnian space in the region later called China. And those beings of Maralplacy who had sought safety by moving to the west, after wandering from place to place, ultimately reached the neighboring continent, later called Europe. As for the three-brained beings who existed in the middle of the continent of Grabonsi, they dispersed over the whole surface of the planet. Well, my boy, this fifth flight of mine to your planet took place during the period just after the redistribution of the various groups of these favorites of yours. And it took place on account of the following events. First of all, I must tell you that the chief particularity of the psyche of your favorites, namely their periodic need to destroy the existence of beings like themselves, interested me more and more with each succeeding century of theirs. And parallel with this, the irresistible urge grew in me to find out the exact cause of a particularity so phenomenal for three-brained beings. That is why, my boy, in the interval between my fourth and fifth sojourns on the planet Earth, in order to have more material that might throw light upon this question that interested me so intensely, with the help of my Tescuano on the planet Mars, I organized my observations of the existence of those peculiar three-brained beings in the following way. I purposely selected a large number of individual beings from among your favorites, and during many of their years, either I personally or someone I specially commissioned kept them under close observation, trying as much as possible not to miss anything, and to clarify for myself from every aspect all the particularities in their manifestations during the process of their ordinary existence. And I must confess, my boy, that when I happened to be quite free, I sometimes followed with great interest for whole synonyms, or as your favorites approximately define the corresponding flow of time, for whole hours, movements of those three-brained beings selected by me, trying to find a logical explanation for what are called their psychic experiencings. And so one day, while I was carrying on these observations from the planet Mars through my Tescuano, it flashed upon me that the length of their existence was century by century and even year by year becoming shorter at a very definite and uniform rate. And this served as a starting point for my subsequent intensive study of the psyche of these three brain beings who have taken your fancy. Of course, when I first became aware of this, I immediately took into account not only the chief particularity of their psyche, that is, their periodic reciprocal destruction, but also the innumerable what are called diseases found exclusively on that planet, and most of which, by the way, arose and continue to arise, owing as always to the abnormal external conditions of ordinary being existence they themselves have established, conditions that are greatly to blame for their inability to exist normally until the sacred Rascuano. When I noticed this for the first time and began to recall my former impressions on the subject, this fact flashed upon my essence, and each of the separate, independent, spiritualized parts of my whole presence became filled with the conviction that in the beginning, these three brain beings of your planet had actually existed, according to their time calculation, for as many as 12, and some of them even for 15 centuries. For you to have a clearer picture of the rate at which the length of their existence diminished during this period, it is enough to tell you that when I left that solar system forever, the maximum length of their existence had decreased to no more than 70 to 90 of their years. And in recent times, if one of them were to exist even as long as this, all the other beings of that peculiar planet would consider that he had lived to a great age. And if anyone were to exist for a little over a century, he would be exhibited in their museums. And of course, all the rest of the beings there would know about him because his photograph and descriptions of his manner of existence, down to each step he takes, would keep appearing in all their newspapers, as they are called. So, my boy, since at the time when I suddenly became aware of this fact, I had no special business on the planet Mars, and since it was quite impossible to try to probe this new peculiarity by means of the Tescuano, I decided to go in person to the planet Earth in order to clear up for myself on the spot the causes of this phenomenon. Several Martian days after my decision, I again flew there on the ship Occasion. At the time of this fifth flight of mine to your planet, their center for the incoming and outgoing results of the perfecting of being comprehension, or their center of culture, as they call it, was the city of Babylon. So it was just there that I decided to go. This time, our ship Occasion alighted on what is now called the Persian Gulf, because before our flight, we had ascertained through the Tescuano that the most convenient place, both for our plan of travel, which was to reach the city of Babylon, and for the mooring of our ship Occasion, would be that particular Salyak-Koryapnian space of the surface of your planet. This expanse of water was convenient for my further travels because the large river on whose banks stood the city of Babylon flowed into it, and we proposed to go up this river in order to reach the city. In those days, the incomparably majestic Babylon was flourishing in every respect. It was a center of culture, not only for the beings dwelling on the continent of Ashark, but also for the beings of all the other land masses, large and small, which were adapted to the needs of ordinary being existence on that planet. When I first arrived in this center of culture of theirs, they were just then preparing what later became the principal cause of acceleration in the rate of degeneration of their psychic organization, especially in the sense of the atrophy in them of the instinctive functioning of those three fundamental factors which ought to exist in the presence of every three-brained being, namely, those factors which give rise to the being impulses existing under the names of faith, hope, and love. And the degeneration of these being factors, increasing from one generation to another, has reached such a point that instead of the real being psyche that should exist in the presence of every kind of three-brained being, there now exists in the presence of your contemporary favorites a real psyche, to be sure, but one that can be very well described by the following wise saying of our dear Mullah Nasir ed-Din. It has everything in it except the core, or even the kernel. I must not fail to tell you as fully as possible what occurred during that period in Babylon, as all this information may serve you as valuable material for helping to elucidate and transmute in your reason all the causes that taken together have finally given rise to that psyche so strange for three-centered beings, which your contemporary favorites now have. To begin with, I must tell you that I obtained the information about the events I am going to relate chiefly from those beings whom the other three-centered beings there call learned. And before going any further, I must dwell a little on just what kind of beings are considered learned by the others on your planet. Even before my fifth sojourn there, that is, before the period when, as I have told you, Babylon was in full flower, those who were regarded by others as learned were not such beings as become worthy to be considered learned everywhere else in the universe, namely those who from the earliest times, even on your planet, have acquired by their conscious labor and intentional suffering the ability to contemplate all the details of everything that exists from the point of view of world arising and world existence, which enables them to perfect their highest being body to the corresponding degree of the sacred scale of objective reason, and later to sense the cosmic truths accessible to this highest body according to its level of development. But ever since the time of what is called the Tikhliamishian civilization, and especially in our era, the beings there who become learned are almost always those who have learned by rote the greatest possible amount of vacuous information, such as old women love to repeat about what was supposed to have been said in the good old days. Note, by the way, that our venerated Mullah Nasir ed-Din expresses the importance of such learned beings as follows. Everybody seems to believe that our learned professors know that half a hundred is 50. There on your planet, the more such information one of your favorites stores up, information he has never verified, and moreover has never sensed for himself, the more learned he is considered to be.